Welcome to this edition of ASME TechCast, where we bring you the innovators, the innovations, and the issues that push the envelope of engineering. My name is John Kozowatz, Senior Editor of Mechanical Engineering Magazine and ASME.org. And today we're talking with Greg Borshig of the Tennessee Valley Authority about nuclear energy and the development of small nuclear reactors. Greg is Vice President of the Clinch River Project, and he's responsible for evaluation, design, and construction prep for an SMR at TVA's Clinch River site. We'd like to note that this podcast is sponsored by IGUS, Motion Plastic Components for Predictably Better Performance. Design longer-lasting machines with self-lubricating bearings, maintenance-free cable carriers, and flexible cables that are guaranteed to last up to 38 months. Every product is rigorously tested and offers a predictable service life. Welcome, Greg. Thanks for taking some time to talk with us today. TVA, of course, is the largest public power utility of the U.S. and a self-funded corporate agency. It has a long history with nuclear power and is one of the first of the nation's utilities to commit to a serious investigation of the development of advanced reactors. Earlier this year, TVA announced its new nuclear initiative looking into various reactor designs and potential locations where they might be built. And that was then followed by a request for proposals for up to 5,000 megawatts of clean energy, meaning carbon-free, that would be online before 2029. So there is a lot happening at TVA, and nuclear is in the mix. So new plants have been few and far between because of the sometimes overwhelming construction costs and other reasons. How has nuclear energy changed, and how did TVA decide to move on development?
Okay. Well, first off, TVA is no stranger to nuclear construction. TVA built the last plant of the 20th century with Watts Bar Unit 1 coming online in 1996, and we built the first plant of the 21st century with Watts Bar Unit 2 coming online in 2016. I think the biggest driver, though, is consumer demand. How we consume electricity is changing, and consumers are changing the way we produce energy. So with the demand for carbon-free generated electricity and the recognition that with current technology, renewables alone will not meet the demand, nuclear power generated electricity is very well positioned to meet that demand. The nuclear energy industry has changed as well, though. The shift to small modular reactors and simplification of the design also provides greater safety and flexibility for meeting that load demand. It is the shift in demand that prompted TVA to explore the development in this area of new nuclear technology. As part of our technology evaluation selection process, TVA evaluated various generation 3 and generation 4 technologies to understand the different strengths and weaknesses of each. And we focused on the simplicity of design, and in particular, which product had the fewest first-of-a-kind features to limit the unknowns and the risk considered in each of those designs.
Okay. So TVA is committed to developing a new nuclear generation option, and tell us what's that going to look like.
TVA's effort for developing new nuclear option is focused on pursuing a near-term construction project of proven technology. In parallel, we're developing a long-term strategy that ensures the economic viability of the chosen approach while continuing to evaluate the industry for emerging discoveries. So this programs group, which looks at the future and the long term, they'll explore advanced nuclear technology follow developments and inform TVA of promising technology that can reliably and economically meet the needs of the customers served by TVA. This group's also going to focus on identifying and evaluating additional sites for future new nuclear deployments. Additionally, this group will focus on optimizing the operations and maintenance costs to ensure the viability of the SMR. So a very forward focus for the program function. The project function, which is what I'm associated with, that's going to focus on the SMR that'll be built for the Clinch River site. And it'll focus on preparing the design, the cost and schedule estimates, planning, construction permit application, all the various elements that are necessary for a deployment. TVA will also use a set of decision gates, which will guide our decision-making and ensuring that the planning and the estimates are tight before proceeding to the next phase of the project. We've also developed a detailed scoping, estimating, and planning process to ensure the rigor in our approach, the precision in our estimates, and the confidence in our decision-making.
So the Clinch River site is now targeted to be a testing site for new nuclear technologies. TVA has already been issued an early site permit from NRC on that. Talk about the project at hand right now. How many new small reactors are expected there eventually? What is the time frame, and what is the first?
Okay. Well, for clarity, I think I would I would not characterize Clinch River site as a testing site. We've gone through great lengths to identify the particular SMR technology that we felt was appropriate for further exploration. And this technology was built on a foundation of proven technology. Previously, I discussed the decision gate process and detailed scoping, estimating, and planning process. And that's going to ensure we're fully ready to deliver a project on budget and on schedule. This Clinch River site, or SMR, will be a full-featured operating facility. And this early site permit that you discussed, it will allow up to 800 megawatts of advanced nuclear generation. And it's not technology specific. The particular SMR that we're further evaluating, it will produce 300 megawatts electric. So the site can, under the current early site permit, we could put two SMRs of this type and possibly a third plant of generation three or generation four technology and stay within the confines of the early site permit. There is a possibility that we could revise the early site permit and place additional SMRs, and the site is sized to accommodate quite a few more SMRs than the one or two that is that we spoke of. There's no schedule for additional deployments, but that work is part of the ongoing effort of the program group to determine and schedule additional deployments. But it really comes down to the viability of the first of a kind reactor.
And could you describe that to me?
Describe the reactor.
Yeah, the reactor.
We are working with General Electric for licensing and working on design work associated with a construction permit, but we haven't really committed to the effort at this point. We haven't signed an agreement for deployment yet. So it's really an ongoing process of evaluating. It is a technology that we believe has a lot of promise, but we're taking a very careful and deliberate approach to evaluate things before we ultimately commit to one technology or another.
Yeah, that was a question that I was going to ask, is what at what stage is the evaluation of the SMR designs at this point? There are a few different designs that are out there in various stages of advancement. What's TVA's view of them as a group, and how far out are we looking for possible deployment?
Well, in terms, now when you say them as a group, the vendor, General Electric, or?
Well, General Electric, along with NuScale and TerraPower and.
We did evaluate various forms of small modular reactors, and every one of them had their own benefits. But where we focused was on limiting the first of a kind aspects, because really it's in those first of a kind aspects that you'll have the risks that can impact the project. So with the General Electric, it has a long history of reactors. They've been in business since 1955. They've developed, the reactor that they have is the 10th generation of reactors. There were very few first of a kind aspects of it. So that's what attracted us to it. But again, there are deployments of these other reactor types by other utilities. And we are following what we're doing there. So that's why I mentioned we have a project team that's focused on advancing the technology at hand. And then the program group is looking at what else is developing in the industry. So we're always focused on the right technology.
Okay. How do you expect nuclear to shake out in terms of the generation mix from TVA? You put out that RFP that I mentioned for 5,000 megawatts of renewables. Nuclear isn't involved in that, I would assume. Where does nuclear fit into the overall mix?
Right now, I think it's a great question. TVA has their strategic intent and guiding principles document, and they have that lays out a path for decarbonization. And nuclear plays a big role in that. So TVA has already reduced their carbon emissions by 63%. By 2030, it will reduce its carbon footprint by 70%. And 2035, it'll reduce it by 80%. And then there is a long-term vision of being net zero by 2050. Well, there's five areas of technology that TVA is focusing on in the innovations there. They're focused on advanced nuclear is certainly part of that. Next generation storage, such as grid scale batteries, carbon capture for gas generating assets, new pump storage facilities, such as Raccoon Mountain that produces 1600 megawatts in and of itself, and hydrogen production and use. Each of these technologies or innovations would be evaluated for reliability and performance, and the mix of the generation solutions will depend on the results of those evaluation. But TVA does believe that a fleet of SMRs can play a big role in achievement of this goal. To what extent, though, it's really not known at this time. It's also important to note regarding TVA's view of the SMR technology and why we're taking such a careful approach. TVA will evaluate, as I mentioned, at each phase of the project, the viability of the project, not only for the first SMR, but also for the nth of a kind SMR, because really it's in future deployments where you really get to see the economic development. But if a fleet of SMRs is not economically viable, we won't build the first.
All right. So TVA now also is in a working partnership with Oak Ridge National Lab How does that work? Describe the interaction here and its importance.
Sure. Okay, thank you. TVA has a valued partnership with Oak Ridge National Labs. Partnerships in general, are great, particularly for evaluating new technology, because it's a great way to minimize risk and gain diverse perspectives and really compensate for experience deficits. And Oak Ridge has a rich tradition in nuclear technology and a tremendous amount of expertise. We do have a formal development agreement with ORNL regarding new nuclear development, so that gives us access to expertise and their knowledge base. It is a memorandum of understanding and allows for information sharing in a number of areas. Our relationship with ORNL goes beyond nuclear, though. We do have another partnership with them benefits from their expertise in other areas of the energy sector that benefits TVA generation in the various areas. We also partner in various issue-specific areas such as carbon-free technologies. We also have specific interactions regarding data management or fully integrated system modeling. A lot of expertise at ORNL. They are a direct serve customer, which means we provide power directly to them rather than through a distribution company. And we partner with them to bring innovation opportunities to the region beyond just supporting TVA. TVA does have, as part of our mission, a requirement and a charter to help the community at large.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So with nuclear, it's been interesting to see the evolution of the opposition to nuclear. And there's a sizable number of environmental organizations now that are coming around to seeing the value of nuclear. But not entirely. And there was a new study, recent study out of Stanford University, that claimed that SMRs are going to be producing more waste than what has been estimated, and that it's going to be more complex, which is going to dramatically raise the cost for management and disposal of it. How is TVA handling this issue at this early point?
Yes, TVA is aware of the Stanford study. We have not performed a formal evaluation of it, but we have done some preliminary looks at the study, and based on those looks, the evaluation of the particular SMR technology that we're looking at, there were some various objective features that tend to be inconsistent with some of the premises of the reference study. For example, the reactor design we're looking at, as I mentioned, is based on a design for a full-scale reactor with over 30 years of design and licensing. There was an advanced 1,500 megawatt reactor that this particular SMR is built off of, and that had several tremendous features. The reactor wasn't simply shrunk down; it was improved as this SMR was developed. So all the experience and design and shielding of that reactor plus previous generation of commercial nuclear reactors went into this design. For example, the fuel is exactly the same. It's the same fuel assemblies that would go in a reactor such as Brown's Ferry. There's just fewer of them. The efficiency of the reactor is consistent with full-size counterparts. So in terms of operational waste generation, it would be the same or less, normalized, of course, to size. Also, although this plan is 20% of the electric output of a full-size counterpart, the facility has 90% of the volume and 50% of the equipment and material. So also, since we're designing this plant and we have all the history of the nuclear fleet to date. A selection of equipment will be made so for reliability and sound maintenance strategies. So with higher reliability, there'll be less waste. So we're continuing to evaluate the benefits and challenges of this design relative to this study, and really, just got sound engineering practices to make sure that that this not only solves the energy needs for TVA, but also solves various other important things such as minimization of rad waste, et cetera.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where will the workforce come from for a new generation of nuclear reactors? Where are you going to get the people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great question. As we're seeing in our industry, for example, during outages and things where we have a need for additional people, the demographics, hit not only our industry, but, industry at large. And you've got not only fewer workers, but workers that don't have the same skill sets as they did that we were the benefactors of for years. So we'll definitely have to have skilled workforce to build it and then operate it. TVA recognized this, and there's an ongoing study to examine the labor market, identify gaps, and work with the union and business partners to close those identified gaps. This study includes the needs for constructing and operating the new generation of nuclear reactors, but it goes beyond that to ensure all of TVA's needs are met regarding online staffing, outage staffing, new construction work for all of our business units, and project support. This effort considers TVA's needs and the needs of others, work that's ongoing in the Valley. So we're working with other manufacturing firms and businesses to make sure that there's a fully integrated approach. So when we work with the unions on solving staffing issues, we're looking at the bigger picture. This effort was broken up into six areas, and those areas involve the identification of needed work and resources through 2035. We'll build diverse staffing pipelines, develop capabilities and proficiencies, strengthen external relations with other organizations. So, for example, if there's a turnaround at an auto plant, we'll try to coordinate those things with an outage at our nuclear plant. We'll also look at financial impacts and then integrate labor strategies. This effort will identify the needed labor pools and sources and methods of labor acquisition. And we're also using this process to further diversify our workforce to ensure we maximize the full potential of the region for the future state of the workforce.
What about the engineering pipeline itself? It used to be that the nuclear power industry was staffed or driven, through people coming out of the nuclear Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So is that still the case? Do you expect that, or where will the professional engineering come from? Are there enough people in the pipeline in universities?
I think I've been in the industry for 40 years, and I've seen a shift. When I started out in my career, it was almost all nuclear Navy professionals. What we see now, and I'm talking about those advancing through managerial positions and filling a number of key staffing roles, what we see today is there's a mix. You've got a good portion of nuclear Navy professionals, but you also have engineers that come out of regional colleges. They work in engineering roles or maybe in maintenance and other roles like that. Some of them will move into operation to get that operations experience, and they'll fill those key roles as well. Also, we've seen some of our craft workers have gone on. If a degree is required for specific roles, TVA has programs to get them degrees, but will help. They will move into positions as well. So we're really seeing the future of key positions coming from nuclear, Navy, engineering, positions and technical positions, and then from experienced workers in the process. In terms of our hiring, we tend to do more regional hiring for engineers because they tend to stay in the area. They tend to work in the area and want to live here. We source diverse colleges and then look for, you know, strong engineering talent throughout. So it's kind of a mix at this point.
I see. Well, mm-hmm. We're going to have to leave it there for now, Greg. I want to thank you for talking with us today. And thank you to our sponsor, IGUS, for supporting today's podcast. IGUS has been manufacturing engineered plastics for more than 50 years. Visit IGUS.com to learn more about high-strength polymer parts with predictable service life. And thanks to everyone for listening. And if you'd like to listen to other ASME TechCasts, please visit your favorite podcast app. Again, my name is John Kozowatz, and thanks again for listening.